Hello, all of you wonderful people out there in podcast land. Welcome to another episode of Black and White Reviews. My name is Will.
My name is Lee.
My name is Chuck.
And this week we are going to be discussing Stranger Things Season 4, Episode 6, titled...
Yes.
Titled...
The Dive.
The Dive.
Yeah.
I wonder why.
Okay. Yeah, I'll tell you why it's called The Dive.
Oh, will you?
I've had to watch this episode 4 times in the past month.
Yeah.
I thought we were doing this episode, and it didn't happen.
Yeah.
So you... Listen. You, Chuck... When you watch episode 7, you will understand why I'm so annoyed. It's like it's like you're hungry, you know, you haven't had anything to eat in like, you know, I don't know, what you would understand, 40 days. and you get to your favorite pizza place and you get up to the window, and as soon as you get up there and you're like, "Okay, I know what I'm going to get. I'm so excited." They turn the sign around and it says closed, and they tell you to scram. Yeah, that's what happens here. That's what's happening. I am so hungry, and I've been waiting for 3.5 seasons to get to episode 7, and here we are now, still stuck on episode 6. I wish you guys did it while I was gone. I so wish you did, so I could have skipped it. Anyway, I do want to say... we've hit 300 episodes. That's kind of a big deal.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
For the podcast?
Like, I got the yes.
Oh, wow.
I didn't realize we've been doing it so long at this point. It's like 300 episodes. This is probably like 301 or depending on when things came out.
Yeah.
But yeah, like we've never really tracked the number of episodes. We've always been like, oh, you know, we've been kind of doing this officially since The Mandalorian came out. And that's pretty much how all we've tracked. But, you know, we were doing stuff even before The Mandalorian, where it was just you and I on YouTube talking about, you know, this, that, and whatever.
Yeah.
Equilibrium.
Equilibrium.
Oh.
So, I just figured that was something
that's
big
awesome.
To announce. Like, hey, so thanks to everybody out there who's been, like, paying attention to us, who's been following us. If it's been a little while or a lot of while, we appreciate you guys sticking around and listening to us talk about mindless dumb things that do
nonsense.
Not save us in life. They are not beneficial to our, you know, our
I wish I knew that we were doing our 300th episode, because if I knew that, like, this is our 300th, I would have suggested Equilibrium.
Oh yeah, exactly. Well,
okay.
We didn't know when it was, and
we're Alone in the Dark.
Yeah.
Or Butterfly Effect 2.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great. Anyway, I just thought that was a big deal.
Wow.
So thanks everybody for sticking around and for caring. Yeah.
Wow.
300.
That is 299 more than I thought we would do, if I'm being perfectly honest with you, Lee. That's awesome. That's really awesome.
So for those who don't know what this all how it all started, Will and I have known each other since we were like 7-8 years old.
Somewhere in there.
And the idea, like, we would get together every time we got together since we were that age, we would get together and we would talk about music and we would talk about movies and we would listen and we would watch movies.
Yeah.
I'll never forget. It was like Batman Returns and Beavis and Butthead Do America. It was like the first time we hung out. We just sat there and made jokes. That being said,
cool.
We've all seen the SNL sketch, right? With Ryan Gosling and Mikey Day. I know it's a huge thing. Everyone's talking about it, but have you guys actually watched it?
I haven't.
It's actually, it's only funny because nobody could keep a straight face just because these guys had like the makeup, the exposed gums, you know, it's ridiculous. And the main person who was trying to run it, like, I'll say this, SNL has gone way downhill. The writing is garbage.
Yeah.
And you watch the sketch and the sketch itself is not very funny. But the fact that they can't contain themselves, because you got Mikey Day playing Butthead and Ryan Gosling playing Beavis. But the thing is, they're just random people in the audience that just happen to look exactly like Beavis and Butthead. And they don't know each other. Just kind of like they're kind of scattered in the audience. But they're wearing like, you know, Death Rock on their shirt and everything with the wig, the pompadour. So it's like a completely uncanny resemblance to them with fake noses and stuff and the exposed gums. But yet they're like, oh, no one ever told me that I looked like anybody. Sorry, you know, I'm just kind of here. You know, I'm really interested in this conversation. And that's it. But at one point they start giggling, and you know, and it's
cool.
You know, but the thing is, like, they clearly have no idea. So it's huge. Like, they showed up to, like, the red carpet for something dressed like that, too. So it's all over the place. So if you haven't seen it, check it out. It's just, it's one of the worst character breaks, you know, on SNL in years. But the thing is, the writing has been garbage lately. So the only reason why it's funny is because just the situation itself. Anyway,
anywho,
that all being said, Will and I talked about that. And then years later, we said, hey, let's open up a record store. And this is pre-kids for me. And we went back and forth on, you know, what are we going to do? How are we going to do it? We wanted to have like live music in the place. We wanted to get all the, you know, actual records. Basically, yeah. our mutual love for the movie High Fidelity was pushing us to wanting to actually have our own record store and just have conversations like that and just be those guys.
Looking back on that, it was an absolute pipe dream.
hey, we were doing real research, you know.
We were doing real research, but then like the realization of like, well, there's this thing in the way.
We don't have the capital to start
this up. I wasn't going to say that. There's this big thing in the way called life that really wouldn't allow it.
Well, as soon as I found out we were having our first kid, I was like, so yeah, this isn't going to happen.
Of course not.
So, but the thing was, we landed on the name Black and White Records.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, if you've ever seen us, you can kind of see why it makes sense.
You get it.
I don't get it.
You don't get it?
You don't get it? All right. That's because you're right there in the middle.
Yeah.
But the point is, that was it, Black and White Records. And then Will came up to me and said, or spoke to me, texted me, called me, whatever, and said, hey, we get together and we watch movies. We have a, you know, we eat food.
It was the night we saw Terminator. Before the movie was about to begin, I whispered it to you like, hey, how about this?
That was one of the worst experiences in the theater right next to the Chunkies that I remember. I was so hungry. Anyway, I got a free movie out of complaining about that. So, Black and White Commentaries is where it came up. And that was the beginning of what this was. Let's talk about movies and see if people care. And it just grew into it. Oh, I mean, hey, some people cared, I guess. We had some type of following.
It's a slow but steady increase. We're going to make it.
Yeah.
We're going to make it.
And
it's
all it
happen.
Was like, it was basic stuff on YouTube. We had like a, you know, an image on YouTube while we talked. We didn't have any video stuff. We didn't have anything professional going on. It was just basic mics and that was that. And now then it grew, and Chuck, you came in on our first episode of Mandalorian and then just kind of kept coming back. And then here we are now.
I was just visiting because you're like, hey, we want a third person just to kind of talk Star Wars and you like Star Wars. And then you came back and you were like, people really enjoyed having the third voice there because it actually gave for a deeper conversation.
Yes,
yeah.
It works.
And then
The third voice here works a whole lot better than when it was just Lee and I. There's like there's a constant revolving conversation. Which Chuck and I were doing the episode, we were talking about like how the podcast began and everything amongst some other things. And I said I've had this sneaking suspicion for a while that the only reason, well, that and he's, you know, your friend, and you and I have grown to become friends, and I'm appreciative of that. I think the only reason why you wanted to like suggest somebody else come on is because you got sick of fighting with me. I think you wanted somebody else like around that was going to be like, well, he's on my side and he'll side with me and I'll be able to show Will what's what. And I've had this suspicion for so long. So I just, but it works. It works. Yeah. The third person works.
So,
and now I'm on Will's side more than
true. True.
No.
There are so many movies where I'm like, I think Will's like, there's no way Chuck's gonna like this movie. And I'm like, I love this movie. He's like, whoa, wait a minute.
Yeah. We should
rename the podcast to Two Wrongs and a Right.
No, we shouldn't.
Two Wrongs and a Right.
Yeah, because we're both wrong and he's right.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. No, but in all sincerity, like the whole 300 episode thing, I think it's awesome. I think that is awesome. And obviously,
listen, we're done talking about Zach, okay? So let's move on.
I love doing this with both of you. I wouldn't give this up for anything in the world at this point. So it's fun. Wow. I don't care if I never draw a dime. This is fun for me. It's a great outlet. It's a great unwind for the end of the week or the beginning of the week, however you want to look at it. I enjoy it.
Right in the middle.
Right. Right in the middle.
And in the beginning.
Yeah, somewhere in there. Something like that. Yeah. Something like that. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. Maybe to commemorate 300 episodes, maybe after we do our next movie or in a couple of weeks, maybe we should just do Equilibrium.
That's my next suggestion, Equilibrium.
Is it really? Okay.
No, actually, I was throwing up in the air because we've been talking about it. Get your thoughts. People who are listening, throw your thoughts up on there.
Yes.
But my, because we've been talking about Chernobyl. We've been talking about Civil War, which these series will come out. I was thinking.
Oh, no.
Schindler's List.
Oh, okay.
Ooh.
Hmm. Well, I think I'll pardon you.
Ooh. I'll
pardon you.
Hmm.
It would be a tough one to go through. But
no, I'm up for it.
I think it would be interesting.
I've only seen it once.
Ditto.
I've seen it like two or three, and that's
I've only seen
it. It's a hard movie to watch.
So the I think, and this is probably my first experience with something like this. I think Schindler's List was hyped up way too much for me, and when I watched it, it was like, oh, okay, this is this is a war movie, just told from a different perspective. Okay, so yeah. I don't know. I don't know. I'll watch it again, though. I'm up for it.
Yeah.
I've been thinking about it, but I'm up for it, but it would be a tough movie to watch, though.
Yeah.
I'm fine
I think
with
if
to
if
watch.
We do it, we just have to make sure we talk about, you know, Liam Neeson and his stand-up comedy.
No.
Yes, he's always making lists. That's why they, you know, got him for the role of Oscar Schindler.
No.
Stand-up comedy.
So to segue out of that whole thing.
Slapstick.
Back Chuck. Into Stranger Things.
Ah,
yeah.
Yes, Chuck.
Chuck, please.
We're just going to let you run with this because we don't have anything to say.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to keep Lee's contribution to a minimum just because of his excitement.
Yeah.
And out of fear that you might say something that you shouldn't.
I'm just going to shove food in my mouth. Have at it.
Go ahead, Chuck. What did you think about this episode? How you feeling?
So I like this episode, but this episode for me is very filler.
Yeah.
It's just
leading
to the next thing.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Shut it, Lee. Yeah. can you mute your mic while you're
Well, wait, I hit solo.
Now, I mean, it's still good. The story's good. The character building is still there. This quasi relationship between Harrington and Dustin, like I don't get it. Like, it's weird. I hate you. I don't hate you. You know. We're friends. We're not friends. I told you so. You know, it's this way. Nancy and Steve, like, come on, stop. All that kind of stuff.
Wait, when did Steve get so hairy?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's all very filler. I wish. That they focused more on, I wish the primary focus, like when we talked about when she went to, was it Chicago?
Mm-hmm.
When she went to go meet 8?
Mm-hmm.
Was it Chicago?
Yes.
Yeah, it was. I wish they did something like that here. And they just focused on her for the majority of the episode just to push along her training so that we could get to what's next.
That's not this episode. That's not what this episode's about. This episode is about everybody else and what they're doing.
I know that. That's why I'm saying I wish that's what this was. But now that's episode 7, so that's going to be great. Thank you, Lee. Minimum.
I didn't say that. I just said that's not what this episode's about.
You said that's not this episode, which infers it's next episode.
Not necessarily. Sorry, I was choking on a cookie. I didn't get to finish my statement.
Oh, you finish it well enough. Don't worry.
I know.
You are.
You can't. You just can't.
You have to be like the worst abuser of using semantics as a shield. You do that better than anybody I know.
Thank you.
You are king at that. It's like, I didn't say it.
I didn't actually say it. I inferred it, but I didn't say it. Therefore, I'm okay. You're talking to people who rip apart movies. Who can read through that kind of stuff? Like, it was, they died off camera, so they're still alive.
I didn't say it.
That's not this episode. You're right. It's the next one, the one we can't wait for.
How about we just stop talking right now and just watch the episode?
We'll do a live recording of us watching episode 7.
Let's do a reaction video.
I will stay and watch it with you afterwards.
We should do a reaction video. And if we were to do a reaction video, it would piece episode 7. Oh man.
Yeah, I'm
That would be a two-parter. We have one reaction and then one discussion.
Yeah, so
like the next week.
So it's filler. I think there are some funny parts to this episode. The Russian thing needs to stop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like big time.
Yeah. Like, you can kind of
like
see
episode they gave away out. And this this season there was a way out. And then they drew him back into it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Last episode, there was a way out. This episode, they're drawing him back in. Stop it.
Yep.
Stop it.
Yep.
Just.
Mm. Yeah.
Stop it.
Yes.
Don't care.
Nope.
I don't care.
Neither do I.
Ivan, is that his name? Ivan?
Ivan.
Ivan has no Russian accent.
Enzo. Yeah.
No.
Come on, Enzo.
No Russian accent. Gone. Yuri.
Yuri.
Sure.
It's a Yuri.
Sure. Sure.
It's a Yuri. Great.
Don't care.
He says, hello, Enzo. It's a Yuri.
The fact that this high school swimmer can stay underwater for 19 hours is great. You know, that's fine.
19 hours?
Yeah, the fact that he swam to the bottom of this lake.
He said 3 minutes, and he was under there for maybe a minute when we saw
him. I'm sorry. He swam to the bottom of the lake. It would take a minute to get
to the
bottom.
So you didn't do the
and
thing.
And then while
you...
he's down there, he's swimming around looking for, and then he, no.
You didn't
can
do
I,
the
can
thing?
I ask this?
You didn't do the
can
thing ask... where you hold your breath to see if you can beat him?
I did, and I couldn't.
I couldn't.
Yeah, but it was cut.
But you're swimming underwater as well.
Does it and he's
like you're moving around. You're not just sitting there watching it going.
Sure, but
and
still.
And he's 30 yards down. He's 30 yards down.
So here's my question about anything underwater. Somebody's swimming around underwater for an extended period of time.
Yes.
During that entire time, they can see what's underwater without goggles. I'm sorry, but maybe something's wrong with me, but it's like trying to look through Vaseline. When you're underwater.
No, it's not.
No?
It's easy to see.
Unless it's chlorinated. Going on.
If it's chlorinated, then I won't do it. But see, like the ocean, a lake, I'll do it all day long.
But you can't really identify things. It's there's a black blob, and there's a thing here.
You need to get your eyes checked.
I think.
Okay, maybe something's wrong with me. I don't know.
I'm not a great, I won't be great at this at all. My eyes are pretty bad. But
yeah,
I can see.
I also don't think it would be that difficult to see a big red glowing thing at the bottom.
Yes.
I think that would be pretty easy to see. Like, oh my God.
Right. So you would think that while he's swimming down, he would swim right to the big red thing, not get down to the bottom and then be like, oh, what's that behind me? Like, I didn't see that. No, if there's one source of light, you would see that immediately.
This is true.
And you would just follow your way to it.
This is true.
That's what doesn't make any sense. And that's my point is like, it's not like you're just underwater, just living down there and everything's fine. You can see everything. And you're like, oh, what's that, by the way? No. All you're going to do is be attracted to the light, shiny things. That's why you use light, shiny things to catch fish.
Yes.
Because you're underwater and yes. shiny things stand out.
Yes.
That is all.
Outside of that, yeah. Yeah, it's a filler. I think this is the biggest filler episode. I do like what's going on with Eleven. I think that was the most interesting part of the entire episode.
Of course.
I love all of it. What's happening in her. So to me, it's very source code in the sense that there are things that are happening in this that I don't think actually happened in her actual memories. I think that there is a part of her that is actually reliving the memory, but mm-hmm. then still doing something that is present in the moment. And it's okay. shifting what's going
You're
on.
You're thinking that her specific wording and responses are current, yet what happens in the past is still...
I think, like, even the conversation that she has with somebody, I think that
you think
even...
it didn't happen that way?
I don't think it happened that way in the beginning.
Yeah, see...
No, I don't.
I think that's just the way that they wanted to make the show. I'll be honest. I think that the way that they're doing it is just so she can play the part and not, like, you know, her artificially put on face on a little girl. You know, I think that's the only thing is they did it this way.
I get that, but I don't think I think some of these conversations is her subconscious now playing
making
it out
sense of it.
And making it bigger than what it than what making it different than what it was.
So that's so like a butterfly effect.
The tank that
code.
She's in is very source code with the monitors all yeah. around her. Her mm-hmm. sitting, it's right. very source code playing with the memory. You know, and then he finds a way, like in source code, you know, he finds a way to change history because he went back in time.
I don't know about this because I think it was pretty well established that she has to get it right in order to advance. That's why she kept looping in the room over and over and over again.
Right. She had to play through it.
Yeah. I think she had to
Nancy it.
Yeah. I think she has to play through the events that happen. I don't think she can change anything. Otherwise, it's just going to reset. We were introduced to that when she was first in this tank, how she kept looping in the room over and over and over again until she got it right, and then she was able to advance.
Yeah, but what does getting it right mean?
This
she
is
could
what
have
happened.
A, yeah, but she could have a similar conversation. It just be more advanced, and it still kind of lead to the same outcome. So I don't know, like. I think the majority of it is memories. I think there are just parts of it that are like her with the Plinko. I think that was something that actually happened.
Yeah.
I think the depth of the conversation with this orderly, I don't think that fully happened when she was 9 years old.
Okay, that's his theory.
Okay.
I don't think it makes sense to delve into it. That's
neither
just,
do I.
That's his theory.
Neither do yeah. I. Okay. That's fine. I can say that I disagree with it. I mean, no. I mean, we're at the point right now where the theories that you're having aren't answered all that much. Like that, like what you're suggesting right now could potentially carry over into the fifth season where we get a little bit more information on that. Like,
maybe.
Does Eleven have the power to change anything inside of this tank? You know what I mean?
I don't think she's changing anything.
No, I think it's more just the perception. Like I was saying before, it's like the outcome is still the same. She's not
Correct.
Changing
True.
The future. It's just that you think that the way that she's interacting is different than how she originally did. It's just that she's kind of staying along the same track. So it's matching up.
Right.
I see that.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's like the way that she has conversation. We'll get more to this.
Well, no,
so she can so okay, so
she,
for example,
she speaks a lot better,
yes,
you know,
so for,
than
for
she
example,
did when she was a kid.
When she's in the room, she can go up to the camera and start asking questions and it's not going to affect anything that happened. But her interaction with the orderly has to happen because it happened at one point.
Yeah, but I don't think the interaction was as in-depth as it was portrayed.
I think
even when she was 9 or 10, she couldn't talk as fluent as she is
yes.
now.
No,
I agree
okay.
with that, but I
okay,
still
yeah.
think that the conversation
has
information
to
she gets from him
is the same.
To happen.
Yes.
That's the same.
It's just that her responses were probably
a
lot more.
The interaction is way more in-depth, and it's different, and it's more matured, and it's all there.
On her side.
On her side.
Exactly.
Okay.
Which is what I'm saying, that I think her subconscious is playing with it a little bit more.
Agreed.
So I think some of it, from her perspective, is memories, and some of it is
her current responses.
Her current responses to this memory,
okay.
Remembering it.
Okay, yes. I like that.
So
I agree. That's what the past few times rewatching it, that's what kept going through my head. So I agree. But it's not source code in the sense where she can change the past because she's there.
No, I'm saying source code in the sense that
she's in this situation.
Tank.
Exactly.
Yeah.
She's in this tank and she's looking at all these monitors which are replaying memories.
Yeah, but from her modern mindset.
Yeah. Correct.
Yep. Exactly.
Okay.
Just like it wasn't his.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
In source code, he wasn't
meant to change time. He was just trying to get information to help people.
Right.
And then he ended up finding a way to go back in time, which, whatever. But, come to find out, I guess there's talk of season 5 being time travel. So, hey, why not use this as a segue into that?
Yeah, well, I mean...
Make it source code.
Yeah, when the leader of the resistance shows back up because a T-101 is on the way down, it's all gonna come together and make a lot of sense. I mean, how else are you gonna take down Skynet? You know, you need 11. She's T-11.
Oh. I'm so worried about that. I am so worried about the show introducing time travel. I am so worried.
But if they do it this way, where she's going back and they're doing like a butterfly effect type thing,
I'm not against it. Neither am I.
I think that's the level of time travel we're talking here. Not like them like transporting somewhere, but more of a consciousness going back in time.
Right.
I'm all for that. I think that'd be pretty cool.
If Arnold comes in.
No. I'm not going exactly down that road, but I kind of am. Like, if there's anybody to play an adult version of 11, like,
oh,
she'd be
Leandry.
Not,
you know what I mean?
No, not really, because Sarah Connor has blue eyes.
Well, contacts.
They can give her contacts.
Come on.
Oh, my goodness.
Sigourney Weaver makes more
sense
than
Linda Hamilton.
You don't
bring in
Linda
Hamilton to do nothing or to play a throwaway character. You don't do that.
True.
Eh.
True.
I think that would be a massive disservice. That's why I'm saying, like,
well, look what
first
they did to Bob.
First you get the information out that, you know, hey, we might do a little bit time travel thing, and now you have her literally, like, interacting with the past, so... And now all
well,
of a sudden,
probably
it's
won't,
like,
we won't see
here
it for
comes
another
Linda
year
Hamilton,
now.
So I don't know.
I would have used somebody different.
Well, we're not going to see it for another year now, because I'm not even going to wrap shooting until early 2025.
I would have used
Margot Robbie.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's disappointing. I was thinking we'd be seeing it early 2025, not wrap shooting.
Yeah.
I guess Millie Bobby Brown wanted to take a break so she can go to Disney World or something.
This is why I would have used Margot Robbie.
What? Okay.
That makes a whole lot of sense.
Uh-huh.
She'd be a great future 11.
I don't know. I don't think she's Knuff.
Hey, Millie Bobby Brown was trying to be that in the third season.
Unless she's a future version of Max.
Which doesn't make sense.
It could.
Well, I guess it's more believable in that sense, but.
Hey, she could be the future version of Will.
I mean, they're both. They both pull off the. What did you just say? What did I miss?
I said that she could be the future version of Will. Not you.
Will Byers.
Will Byers.
Not you. Will Byers. You know.
Oh, no.
He gets his chance with Mike.
Oh, no. Oh. Oh, dear. Oh, that would be quite the interesting soap opera.
Oh, my God.
Who is it now? Oh, it's Will Byers. No, it's Wilhelmina Byers.
That's wrong.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know.
If they come back and they do that.
They're like, it's they skip into the future and he's like married to her and he doesn't know. And like the secret of it comes out. Like, I never wanted to tell you, but
I'm really Will. They kill him off in this season.
Yeah.
Off screen. Then he comes back as Linda Hamilton.
That would be so stupid. I'd be so mad.
Oh dear.
Anyways. Enough with the speculating. Lee already gave his thoughts about what he thought about the episode. He doesn't care. He can't wait till next week, and I don't want you to talk anymore. Yeah, I agree.
At all.
This episode is very much
muted.
Very much filler. Very much setting up for things that are going to happen. I do wish that there was a little bit more of Eleven. I like the separation of the characters, each having their own journey. But at the same time, jumping back and forth between all of them can feel like it's a little much. I think, you know what I mean? I would much prefer, like, you know, this week we are going to focus heavily on, like, these two groups and, like, leave the third out or, like, vice and just continue on from the... I don't know. I think a lot of these characters would do good with a lot more screen time to, like, further... Yes. But, yeah, this is very much a filler episode getting ready for everything that's going to be happening, like, as we wrap up. The last few episodes of the season.
And I'm fine with filler episodes because you need them to make up for the. But it's.
Yeah.
Nothing exciting happened, which I'm okay with that.
Not really? Well, one thing. Well, there are a couple of exciting things that happen. There are a few. It's not completely a dud. We'll get into it. But there are some things that happen in this episode that I'm happy about.
Peanut butter.
Yeah. Peanut butter. Exactly.
Peanut butter.
I forgot what else I was going to say. I don't know.
Exciting things.
It is. Exciting things. Oh, you know what I was going to say? I don't know what it is this time around, this viewing for me, but for whatever reason... I'm starting to look at Dr. Brenner in a new light.
He's a good guy.
Not Agreed. A good guy.
No, but...
Not a bad guy either.
He is...
A means to an end.
It's what the school for gifted would be if it wasn't Xavier's but Magneto's.
You need to watch X-Men 97
stop,
and stop
please
talking.
Please stop. Stop. Why do you have to do that? I say a thing and you immediately jump to like, oh my God, stop. Stop.
Wait. He didn't say it, though.
You just brought up an IP.
About.
And I said you need to watch it.
Thank you.
That's all I said. You just need to watch
Thank
it.
Thank you.
Don't bring up stuff if you don't want me to say, yeah, you need to watch it.
I'm supposed to, wait a minute. Am I supposed to like automatically assume that? I don't even know where
to
take that sentence.
Hold on. I'm going to ask you this, Will.
This coming from the guy. Hang on. No. This coming from the guy who for decades were like, I don't want to hear anything. Don't spoil it for me. You are always the first person to spoil something.
So I know that he didn't. So I want to ask you this, Will. I know Lee didn't quote-unquote say anything, but when he's implying for you, when he's telling you to watch X-Men 97...
He just implied that I'm going to see an episode or some type of storyline where Xavier is in charge of the X-Men. That's what he just implied. So now I'm expecting
Magneto,
to see it.
Where Magneto is in charge
yes,
of it.
Yes, where Magneto is in charge. That's
I never said that. I said you brought up X-Men, and all I said was you need to watch it.
He thought exactly what I thought, and I've already watched the first 3 or 4 episodes of the show.
Thanks, Lee.
And I kept my mouth shut.
Thank you, Lee. Anyways, no. Back to what I was saying. I have a better appreciation for this character because that's basically what it is. This is basically Magneto if Xavier was completely out of the picture. This is what he would be doing with the mutants. Like it's crazy I never looked at him like that before. I always looked at him as this guy's evil because he's...
Bad guy.
Yeah, this guy's a bad guy. Yeah. This guy's evil because he's doing weird experiments on kids. But then I took a step back and I'm like, well, wait a minute. And I had to ask myself, what's the difference between what he's doing here and what Xavier did training a bunch of kids to go kill? Like,
The difference would be, I was just thinking of that.
Well, Xavier trained the kids to keep peace. He didn't train them to kill, where Magneto was training people to kill.
Well, that's the difference, is I think that a Magneto-type character or a Brenner-type character
You're right. I take it back. Xavier taught them how to hone their abilities, and Cyclops is the one who taught them to go kill. I stand corrected. It's the same concept. Yeah. It's the exact same thing. And I had to ask myself that. I'm like, there's really not a whole lot of difference between what Brenner is doing and loosely what Xavier did training a bunch of kids. And it's exactly what that school would look like if Magneto was in charge. And I stepped back. I was like, that's what they're going for. That's who this character is.
And that's the one difference is Owens is Xavier and Brenner is Magneto.
Yeah.
And when you look at it,
kinda,
the big difference is this. An Xavier type character is going to recognize the gift in you and he's going to call it out of you.
Yes.
And if it takes a year, it takes a year. A Magneto or a Brenner character will see the gift in you and they will drag it out of you in 2 months.
So this is basically if you're
and he will have a more powerful army in a shorter period of time.
Yeah.
The downfall to that is you'll have less control. You'll have people who are like Eleven who are like spazzing out.
That's what's special about Magneto. Magneto didn't want control over other mutants. He really did. If you want to leave and you want to go somewhere else, go ahead. I'm not going to hold you. Magneto wasn't ever going to keep anybody prisoner. That's the only difference I really see there.
I have to rewatch it, but was it First Class when Magneto like turns like completely when Eric just like bails? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's when he bails and then Xavier gets shot and all that fun stuff. Is it? Yeah, that's basically what it is. So like that movie is kind of like what we're seeing here is the two, because they were both on the same side at that point. And, you know, one was doing it this way and the other one was doing it that way. So, yeah, true. I can see it there. But later on, not at all. They're very different. It's a very
If you look at Magneto, though, Magneto does have a Magneto's only thing is I want to
protect.
I want to protect the mutants.
Yes. Right.
Yes. I mean, he has good cause for it. But Xavier has the same desire. He's just going about it differently.
They both have the same desire, but Xavier was harmony. His was all about harmony. And Eric's focus, or Magneto, Magnus, whatever you want to call him, Max, he had all those different names, was all about, you know, basically the mutants' rights. It was like rights for mutants.
Sure.
Right, the mutants need this, mutants are better, and they need to be protected. Whereas Xavier, again, was just like, we just need to have harmony. Like, we just want to live.
Yeah, but I think that if you look at the world of X-Men, if the humans never attacked the mutants, Magneto would do nothing.
Right. Probably not.
He wouldn't care.
Probably not.
He is a reaction to the fear of the humans, the Homo sapiens that are attacking the mutants. And he's reacting to that.
And if I'm going to get a little bit deeper on this, my opinion, Xavier is an incredibly naive character, flawed and naive character. So, I mean, even if you are like dragging the powers out of somebody like by brute force, okay. Which is what Brenner is doing. And I can't believe that before this, I never put that together for myself until this time around.
But the thing is, what other choice do they have at this point? That's why they had to pull Brenner back into it.
True.
They don't have a choice because nobody else is going to be able to do it this way. And he has that
very true.
We need to push. I mean, the whole conversation they have, I think it's in this episode or this one and the next one. The whole point is like, she's either going to sink or she's going to swim, and we need her to swim. Like, we just need her to go through.
No.
Like
I know the quote exactly.
Yeah.
The other scientist,
Owens.
Owens. Owens wants to pull her out of the tank. She's going to drown, blah, blah, blah. And Brenda's like, no, she's not. She's going to swim. So it's, I don't know. I don't know. This time around me watching this, especially these last few episodes, I have a much better respect and understanding of this character than I did before. And I just wanted to put that out there. So I don't.
And I agree with you.
I don't see him. I don't see him as the, you know, the evil mastermind that I did my first or second time around. I see it completely different now. So there's that. That's one thing that the show kind of did for me right now. That's
yeah, but I definitely want to like now that I'm seeing it again in this light, I kind of want to go back and see him again in everything season? Leading up to it. Because he did. They really played him up to be the bad guy.
And just go back and watch this episode again.
No. How dare you?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'd rather watch Passion in the Desert.
Oh. Ooh. That's rough.
Movie again. We should revisit that movie.
It's rough, like that.
You don't want to revisit that movie?
Not really. I don't want to watch that again.
Once is enough, huh?
Once is absolutely enough.
I've now watched it twice in my lifetime. Yeah.
Congratulations.
I'd rather drink a bunch of paint in the desert than watch that movie again.
Really? Really? If I watch that movie again, I'm going to wash my eyes with bleach.
That's a staple for this podcast. Are you kidding?
The references are fantastic.
Well, for those of you who haven't seen Passion in the Desert,
go watch it.
You need to watch it so you understand. I mean, you want to be on the inside. Jeez,
go watch.
This is better than being a patron through Patreon. Just go watch that, and you'll finally understand all the inside jokes about this fantastic movie.
Fantastic
movie that Chuck has loved since childhood.
I have never loved this movie.
Passion in the Desert.
I had a passion for this movie.
All right.
That movie is one of the worst. I'm sorry. Talk about bad. That's a bad movie. Highlander the Source was worse.
I think they're on par.
No.
I'd say they're about on an even. Yeah, they're right there. They're right there. Yeah.
Passion in the Desert didn't have a character climbing a set of stairs to nothing and just ascending to God status. So yeah, I'm gonna say Passion in the Desert might be a little bit better.
A little, not much.
Not by much.
It's not
though.
Much better. Not but by it much. Still is better.
Not by much.
It's a fan. So spoiler territory.
There you go. Yeah, I was just about to say segue us in.
So with that being said, join us on patreon.com/blackandwhitereviews for the remainder of this riveting conversation. You can also find us on all of our social medias, YouTube and Instagram at Black and White Reviews 1866 and on Facebook at Black and White Reviews. Leave comments, give suggestions, give recommendations. We will take you up on your recommendations. If it's a bad movie, we will enjoy talking about it. We may not enjoy the movie, but we will enjoy talking about it. If it's a good movie, just make recommendations. We will watch it. Leave comments. Share with your friends. Pass the word along. And with that being said, we're going to hop right into
spoiler territory.
Spoiler territory.
All right.
So let it be written. So let it be done.
Make it so.
So where do we start?
Engage.
Where do we start? I mean, I think we've said a lot about it, so now we just talk details, I guess. Chuck, how do you feel about any characters?
Well,
thank you, Will, for saying because it caught me. How do you feel about any characters?
How do you feel about any characters?
Are there any characters here that you would like to talk about?
Who were you going to ask about first?
He is not going to answer that question. He is not allowed to answer that question.
I'm not allowed to answer that question.
Lee is not allowed to ask any specific questions about this episode. He is.
Nope, it's going to be. It's going to be very vague.
Very vague. He is going to keep things very, very vague. Let's start with Murray. And
get it out of the way.
I love Murray.
They have a plan.
I love Murray.
They have a plan.
Yeah. Tie up Yuri.
Yep.
Let him freeze to death.
Yep.
I love how, like, Joyce is so out of place in everything she is. It's like, we saw tracks. Tracks. There's no one around. No one. Like, are you ready to fly, little bird? Oh, da, da. Like, it's just, she's just there along for the ride, and it's really much, funny to me.
Pretty much. But yeah. So their plan is to.
Yeah, I have no clue what their plan is.
Oh no, they're gonna go to the prison and get hopped. That's the plan.
Oh yeah, they're gonna do it Star Wars style.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. Exactly, Star Wars style. That's the answer I was looking for.
Spot on.
That's exactly what's gonna happen.
Put Chewie in cuffs.
Yep.
Walk him up there.
Yep.
And by the way, I'm Yuri and you're Murray.
Yep.
Yep.
So horrible plan.
Of course, it's a horrible plan.
It's a horrible plan.
Yes.
I mean, sure.
Yeah.
Let's wait for this train wreck to happen. I mean, we're gonna have to watch how Hop allows every other Russian to get eaten by the Demogorgon before, you know, they come. You know, that's going to happen. I mean, they're all getting fattened up for that.
Yeah, I love that. I can't deny that. That's like the best scene in the episode.
It is a really cool scene.
Where the guards bring them down and there's just an amazing spread.
A feast. Like, yeah.
Reminded me of Temple of Doom.
Yeah. Chilled monkey's brains.
You see like the eyeballs popping up in the soup. Oh, yeah, they're fattening you up.
Yes.
Feed you.
Yes.
They're not giving you strength.
No. Nope.
They are plumping you up
to
feed you to this creature.
Of course.
All the nutrients a growing monster needs.
I love the setting, too.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
just like this amazing candlelit dinner.
Yeah, Temple of Doom.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible. The whole scene is fantastic.
The best part about the whole thing is that Hop was just playing the entire thing so he can get alcohol and a lighter.
Yes.
And it's brilliant.
It goes
right back. Like, so because we've seen Hopper like this whole season. It's just been like, okay, he's got this idea. He's going to go break his foot so he can like squish it out of a chain or whatever. What am I thinking about here? What do we call it? The anklet. I don't know. To get himself out of that. And then like everything else, it's like, this is not, I mean, I guess it's the best he's got. But then, like, I keep going back to my favorite part was when he gave Alexei the keys and he goes, go ahead, leave. And he knew exactly what Alexei was going to do. Mm-hmm. Smirnoff, whatever.
Yeah.
And it was like, he is smarter than any of us thought he was. Any of us. So here, he's going ahead and he's playing it and he's talking to Enzo there. And he goes, oh, yeah, your son, is he slow? Is he a dummy?
The whole thing. Yeah.
Like, it's so good. And he goes, yeah, well, you're not the father and your wife. And just to get into a fight. Beautifully done.
Yes.
Beautifully done. Enzo had no idea where he was going. He thought he was just drunk and stupid.
Yeah.
And it's like, I know we don't like this whole Russian thing, but I still love Hop.
So
Hop is still amazing.
Yeah. He's a fantastic character. I'm just, you know, I'm done with Russia. I want to be done with the Russian plot in this show. I'm done. I want this to hurry up and wrap up and move on. You know, thankfully we can start seeing the light at the end of this tunnel because...
Season 5 takes place in the USSR.
Things... yeah.
It's the UDUSSR.
Sure.
The upside down USSR.
The upside down.
The USD, USSR. That'd be horrible.
The USDR.
Yeah. Dustin does a thing with his magnet, because we didn't see this before.
Yeah! Magnets!
Yeah, magnets. Yeah, Mr. White.
His
magnet
science.
Is going crazy, and that's how they figure out that there's a new gate.
A new gate.
There's a new gate somewhere.
New gate. Watergate.
Ooh.
Forrest Gump.
Ooh. Ah. Nothing.
Some power went out.
Okay.
Yeah. The fact that they had to have this, like, you know, teeny bopper conversation we're going the right way. We're going the wrong way. I could have done without that. You know, Harrington needs to like trust Dustin a little bit more. Like he's been right almost every time.
Yeah.
Right.
But he's also just, he's holding on to whatever pride he can try to hold on to at this point. Harrington
he's made out with a bunch of girls underneath a rock.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
That's what we're doing. That's what we're doing.
That's where we're going with.
Life experience.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, Eddie's a little scared. I don't blame him.
I don't blame him either.
Terrified. I mean, he is suspect number one.
Mm-hmm.
Why wouldn't he be? But yeah.
So yeah. That,
yeah. Yeah.
Well, then you got Jason. Jason, right? You want to talk about Jason for a sec? Him
That's
like freaking out finally.
Into.
Like, yeah. So he's like, he's a vessel. Eddie is a vessel for Satan, and he goes off, and then he starts quoting Romans 12.
Yeah.
And it's like, all right, here we're going.
Yeah, but what I don't understand is this guy goes from I don't believe in Dungeons and Dragons,
right?
Yep.
It's not real. It yep. doesn't exist. To Oh my
it's
gosh,
all real.
They do exist.
Well, yeah.
It's all real.
Right. Because he saw it in front of him. He saw somebody murdered in the sky.
And like, he immediately jumps to the conclusion of Eddie must be some type of wizard.
Yeah. He's obviously lost his mind.
Yes.
And he's just
as like, Eddie is also freaking out at the same time.
Yeah, but he's not paying attention to Eddie. He's paying attention to what's happening with this dude up in the air.
Yeah.
So the reality is, like, he's already traumatized before this even happened. And then this happens, and Eddie was nearby. What else is he going to think? Honestly, it makes perfect sense. There's two things he could do with it. One, somehow think that Eddie has nothing to do with it, or think that Eddie has everything to do with it.
True.
So that's it. At this point, it's not like things are just going to keep on rolling the same way. It's he's going to go one way or the other. And the most logical thing for how he feels in his traumatization is to blame Eddie for it.
Of course.
Because he can't explain it otherwise.
Well, you can, in a situation like that, you can't explain what you just saw. That's the
no.
thing. But
right.
The problem that I have with it is other things have happened in Hopkins kind of goes against everything that Jason is saying right now. Like other supernatural things have happened in this town, right?
Right.
And which, he should be which aware he, of
which if
and
you
he should be aware
here,
of them.
He blamed it all on the Hellfire Club. He says that everything happened, the mall fire and this and that and all those things. He said that was all the Hellfire Club. It was all Eddie and his you know, Satanists. That's what he
Eddie
said.
Eddie and his Satanists.
Yes.
I don't know.
That's the band.
This Jason character blows my mind. This is the exact kind of person I think this person, like modern day, would buy every, you know, like emergency go bag that Alex Jones tries to sell. Like, that's exactly what this person is. He has a closet full of $10,000 for the merch, full of merch with InfoWars on it. This is what he would do, like in modern day. It's
yeah,
crazy.
Back in the 1990s, he would have called Cleo every single week.
Oh my
no,
God.
No, Mr. Cleo.
I.
Oh, you got to get away from that man.
That has to be like. That entire Miss Cleo thing has to be like the worst thing to ever happen. It's like, oh my God, this woman who is clearly not Jamaican at all. How did she get all those commercials?
She paid for it.
Yeah, she did.
I still, well.
I wonder what she's up to now.
I don't
you think
know.
She saw it coming?
Oh, maybe. Maybe.
She's broke. She's broke.
Is she
you
really?
See that coming? I don't know.
Oh.
But yeah, I mean. What else happened? Very filler.
Very filler.
She's dead.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh.
I don't think she saw that coming.
She's dead.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. 2016. She is. Oh. Yeah.
How? Yep. How? I mean, I don't want to make fun of it, but how?
Hang on.
Yep. Colon cancer.
Oh. Interesting.
Yep.
It's less common in women. Nobody saw that coming. All right. Well, anyway, moment of silence for Miss Cleo. Is that what we're doing here?
No.
Well, it sounds like it. All right. So anyway, Susie and the gang.
Okay. So I have a question about this. So she loses her computer because she changes Dustin's grade.
Because she was dating an agnostic and she changed his grade.
Yes. So daddy took her computer and he uses it, who never leaves his room. Now, on top of never leaving his room, one of her brothers is consistently shutting on and off the power to the house.
Correct.
So her plan, and he never leaves his room. So her plan is to have her brother shut off the power to the house so that daddy leaves the room.
Uh-huh.
So if this person shuts off the power to the house consistently and daddy never leaves the room, when he does it this time, why is daddy now leaving the room?
Well, because he can't use the computer.
Yeah, but he's been doing it all the time.
Yeah, but for how long?
Like it happened weeks? Two or three times in this episode before she suggested
That's
it.
True. But also what was going on is other things that happen in a show to distract and make things happen longer. Like you've got him running around shutting stuff off. You've got the other girl who just got bit by a zombie and she's bleeding out on the floor. You get the other ones who, you know, father's kidneys lighting the kitchen on fire.
Yes, that's all well, which made it possible for them to be in the room longer.
Yes.
My question is this. The power has been shut off multiple times.
Right.
Not once did he leave the bedroom or the office to go check on why the power was shut off. So,
no.
In this situation, when they shut the power off, why did he leave the office?
Because it the other times it went off and then came right back on. This time it went off and didn't come right back on. So he had to go investigate this time. Yep.
Yeah, I don't buy it.
Okay. It's a TV show. I agree with you. I'm just saying, yeah, it's a TV show.
So many other things that could have been done.
Absolutely.
Like, not introduce this kid shutting off the power and then doing it.
First of all, that kid's a good shot. He shot Mike directly in the middle of the forehead as soon as he opened up the door.
Thunk. Yeah.
He just went, ah!
Okay.
I love how, like, there's no parents in this house.
Where's mom?
No idea.
No clue.
No. But then you've got Eden. Like, the garden.
Yes, we do.
Argyle
is immediately
totally smitten.
Immediately head over heels for this woman.
I'll shove her for you. I'll do anything for you.
I mean, good for her. I was just gonna say I'm really happy that he found a girlfriend or something like that. Because the next time we see them, they're in the minivan smoking a bunch of pot and I'm guessing they were making out or something like that. I don't know. It's what? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Good for him.
So anybody else? I mean, I don't know if it's just like it was a common thing, but she looked exactly like Ally Sheedy in The Breakfast Club.
A little bit. Yes.
Like exactly. Like yeah. She had like a similarity in her face, but then they're like, let's give her the exact same hair. Let's have her dressed all in black.
Well, it was the 80s.
Okay.
And I was thinking Tia Leone.
And it's all coming full circle.
It's all coming back.
Our inside jokes make no sense because of our release.
I know.
Release schedule.
Like, yeah, it's like you hear the joke now and you hear the punchline, like the actual joke, like 4 weeks from now.
Really?
No. You the punchline is now, but the joke.
It's not like we release every week.
But the setup
like,
is
in
gonna
order.
The movies and the TV shows are definitely like weeks apart from one another. It's insane.
You're gonna hear the punchline now, and you're gonna hear the actual story like 5 weeks from
now. Yeah.
Oh, that's what they meant.
And only those on Patreon can understand. So, tell your friends.
Yeah.
Yes. If you want the inside scoop, join us on
Patreon. If you want to try to put this disaster of a puzzle together, join Patreon.
This is our exclusive content right here.
Disaster of a puzzle.
Unreal.
Tia Leone.
It destroys my OCD.
Tia Leone, why? Why?
So yeah.
Wasn't she the girl from Jurassic Park 3?
Kirby's Paint and Tile Plus.
Okay.
Speaking of Fargo.
Hey.
Fargo. Tia Leone was on Fargo.
No. William H. Macy.
Oh, that's right. William H. Macy.
He was great as the shoveler. Shovel well. I shovel very well.
So I have a question. What are they trying to push with Robin and Nancy?
What do you think?
With Robin and Nancy?
What do you think, Chuck? Yeah.
Yeah.
Robin and Nancy. Like, what do you think, Chuck?
It's another love triangle.
What? What are you talking about?
What?
Do you think...
Do we think what?
I know it's not going to go anywhere.
I'm waiting for this question to happen. I'm just waiting.
Nancy and Steve.
Yes.
What?
What is this?
What about Robin?
I think they're not going to try to eventually make that because these two couldn't, and then these two are not that she's going to try to make.
What is this whole these two? Those two? What are you on about?
Robin likes Nancy.
Robin doesn't like Nancy.
Robin does not like Nancy. How are you getting this?
Because she's the only other girl her age in the group.
Except the girl that she's... Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
She's
girl
like,
that
she's,
like, scared to talk to. Which we saw in episode one and never saw again.
But
she's scared to talk to her.
Yeah.
She's scared to talk to her.
Yeah.
She will not talk with her.
Yeah.
We saw her for 5 seconds in the first episode, and the only other female her age in this whole thing is Nancy.
That doesn't... No.
Robin does not like Nancy. I don't get this at all. I don't get that at all.
Season 5.
Robin likes the chick in the band Her. Like, that's what...
You know,
and not
you
to mention,
happened?
She's... And Nancy. Robin is, like, actively trying to, like, push Steve and Nancy kind of back together. She's clearly trying to do that.
Or she keeps bringing it up and she's hearing Nancy's responses of like, no, 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 no. And then they're getting closer and closer. Oh, you call me a friend now? Really?
I'm sorry. You're the only one picking that up.
You're out there with this one. Okay.
They got to go somewhere with
Robin. Money on this show.
They're doing it with Will. They're doing it with Will and they're going to try to push it with Will and Mike. That's not going to happen because Mike's going to stay with 11, obviously.
Uh-huh.
Jonathan's way too high for Nancy right now, and he lives like 2,500 miles away from her, so that's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Nancy and Steve already tried to do the Ross and Rachel thing, and that's not going to happen. So now Robin is like, oh, guess who I like? But I am too afraid. But you know what? I'm now becoming friends with the only other female in the show who is my age. And they're not going to try to at least push it once. I doubt it. At least once. She's going to try to pull that thread and she's going to get denied by Nancy. But I think in season 5, she's going to try to say something. You watch. You watch.
I feel like that's a lot more complicated than they need
she
to do.
Is. She is.
Really? You don't think that Will
okay,
and Mike
so
is
at the end of the episode? At the end of the episode, we're on the boat, right? And he takes off his shirt, and Nancy is oogling at him, and Robin's like happy that like, oh, this is actually going to happen. She's incredibly
correct.
Happy for the two of them.
Absolutely.
She's pushing this with both of them when they were looking at the newspaper. When they were looking at the newspaper, she was like, so I hope I don't make things weird between you and Steve. You know, we're just friends, right? Like, she's actively trying to, like, oh, these are my friends and I want to see them together because clearly they both have a thing for each other. Like, come on. Like, I don't know. I think it's pretty clear and obvious that Nancy wants band chick and Nancy, that Robin wants the band chick and that Nancy and Nancy and Steve are going to like, I'm bad with names. That Robin knows what she's doing with this.
Okay.
She's like pushing them. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't see.
So you're going to sit here and tell me.
Yes,
that you've
I am.
Never
yes.
hung out with. You're going to sit here and tell me that you've never just hung out with a friend for a long enough period of time. And then all of a sudden there was an attraction there that just spurred. Like
this
your
is
friend.
Different.
Will's never tried to kiss me. I'll tell you that.
Never. Not once.
What was that? I'm not talking about. I'm talking
no
about.
Just, how many times I.
I'm not talking closest, about that.
The
stuff.
Closest
I'm talking
thing.
About, have
hang
you
on.
Ever
no.
Hung
no,
out
no, no,
with,
no, 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 no. Stop. The closest thing that Lee and I have ever come to anything like that was me in a drunken stupor and him taking my boots
I'm
off
not,
so I didn't crash
no, no,
into
No, no, no. Okay. You guys went to a whole nother level with this. I was not talking about you with you two. I was talking about. You and a girl, have you ever just been a friend with a girl and then all of a sudden been like, oh, wait a minute, there's an attraction here?
I don't think
you
Will's
don't,
ever just
you're,
been
you're
a
not
going to
sit
girl.
Here and tell me that Robin, of
I am
all
the
people,
last person. I am the last person that you should be asking this question to.
No, I don't think Will's ever had a non-romantic relationship with a female.
And you don't think that Robin is having a relationship and at some point is going to go, oh, wait a minute, maybe I do have feelings for her.
No,
okay.
I don't see Robin as hyper focused on being in a relationship.
No,
okay. She's just Robin.
No,
okay. She does have somebody she likes.
Okay,
but she's not obsessing over. I need to be in a relationship. I need to be in a relationship.
She's not Steve
like Steve is.
No, exactly. She's not Steve.
I get that, but she's hanging out with Nancy a lot. I'm just speculating.
Yeah,
it could be nothing. It
and
may
to answer,
be nothing.
And,
it might
to,
be nothing. But
and
season
to answer
five,
your, and
one
to answer
time.
Your question. Have I ever been friends with women where there was no sexual attraction? I have. There isn't always an attraction. Does it happen? Sure, it happens, but no.
I get that. But what I'm saying is, when you're friends with the woman who there is no attraction, and you're friends long enough, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, wait a minute. Something turns on, and then you're like, oh, there's an attraction there that wasn't there yesterday.
There must be something there that wasn't there before.
That.
Yeah,
that. Right there.
That. I don't know, man.
Spots.
I don't know, man. If that was the case, Robin wouldn't be actively trying to get the two of them together.
Yeah.
That's true.
Sorry, she Chuck. Wouldn't I okay. A lot of the things you've brought up, like... It's unlikely, but this just does not seem like they're even hinting
a
at
a lot of the things that I've brought up are unlikely, huh?
No, I said a lot of the things, like, if there's something you've brought up that I disagreed with, have been more unlikely, whereas this thing is like, I don't see any hint of it. I'm sorry. I don't.
That's why I'm saying season five. We'll see, though.
Okay.
We'll see what happens in season five.
Yep.
Linda Hamilton's Robin.
I mean, she looks like more like it. She could be an older version of Robin.
Oh boy.
I think she's gonna be 11.
So do I. Speaking of 11, I think we can get into that a little bit. And this is what I was alluding to earlier when I said there were some pretty big events that happened in this episode where they're playing the circle game. And you have this one kid who is a number
it's
two.
A circle. Two.
It's number two. Where is number it? Two basically eliminates everybody, you know, Jedi mind power style. Push your enemy out of the circle or push your opponent out of the circle with your mind.
It's basically like Jedi sumo wrestlers.
Sure. Yeah.
No,
oh, there you go.
Game.
And then 11 comes along and eats them.
Yeah.
It's this game.
Yeah.
Or have you ever seen, Justin Timberlake.
No.
It's a time movie where they have all the...
Yeah, In Time.
Yeah. Where they're using,
that,
like...
That movie fell flat.
But
they
the concept
this,
is actually pretty interesting where you're using,
amazing,
like, hours
but
of
it,
minutes
but
of
just,
your life as currency.
Yeah.
Right, and
just,
then what happens is they play the game where they're doing that, and then at the very last second, they flip it over.
Yeah, and see.
And then they take everything and they win.
Yeah.
That's basically what they did here. They alluded to number one, obviously, in the whole conversation with the orderly.
Mm-hmm.
So, are we ever introduced to number one? Not this episode, so episode 7. Okay, great. he's not saying anything on purpose, which means that that's a yes.
Okay, so mild spoiler warning.
Can I say one thing.
I am shocked that it took this long in the series to even begin referencing or speaking about number one.
Right.
It's pretty amazing that this show waited this long. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because you figure like number one, like the first, like you figure like that's the head of the snake. So you figure it should be like a thing. But this is like, yeah, I think this is the first episode where number one is even referenced. So yeah.
Yeah. And
is number one the head of the snake, or is Brenner the head of the snake?
Well,
without Brenner, there would be none of this.
Brenner, well, in this analogy, Brenner's like the teacher. Brenner's like the puppet master, if you will. But you still have like the origin, if you want to call it that.
Yeah, but how?
I don't know.
Yeah, not something we can really get into here.
I don't know. It's not like I can't get into anything, but it's like there's a lot still kind of up in the air about it.
You remember in Star Wars, the original trilogy, where, you know, there's this whole, so I know we talked about this briefly before, where in 1977 they made Star Wars, and it was just called Star Wars, and they didn't know what was going to happen, if the movie was going to be a flop or not, and then they did The Empire Strikes Back, and they dropped the whole bomb about, like, Darth Vader being his dad. And then when he goes to Dagobah again, or Luke goes to Dagobah, and he talks to Obi-Wan Kenobi's Force Ghost, and he's just like, well, from a certain point of view, and they basically just, like, they throw it all out there. Like, I think that's one of the big things that drives me nuts. And I feel like you can kind of get it there, and you can kind of forgive, you know, George Lucas and, you know, Alec Guinness for what they did here, or what they did there, but I still think, like, watching this over again, like, I'm watching it and I'm paying a lot more attention and I'm going, it still doesn't add up, but I feel like they're going to throw in some kind of, well, from a certain point of view type thing, you know, and that's, it's disappointing because they did everything else so well.
Yeah, I don't know if I agree with this. I don't know if I agree with the idea that number one wasn't a thought before, like, the first episode aired.
Right. But the thing is, when you try to throw somebody off a trail, you still have to do it in a way that's not just blatantly being like, nope, not this, throw it out of your mind. That's my point. Like, they really just did not do a good job here because of certain specific dialogues.
Okay, like, so I will say this, and Chuck, this isn't really giving anything away. In hindsight, it's on the nose.
Yeah, but it's very
in
much...
In hindsight, it's kind of on the nose. So you... Meh. So, I mean...
We can talk more about it in the next episode.
I know we can. I'd like to revisit...
I'd like to revisit this conversation.
Okay.
About one. Like, okay. The conversation in this episode between Eleven and, you know, this orderly dude. I'd like to revisit this conversation when we talk about the next episode.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine.
Yeah.
I agree with that. Okay.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So that's all we'll say about that. But other than that, I mean, what's up with Max? What's up with Max? They are basically hanging out down by the water. We found the killer. He's over here. All right.
Sure.
Nothing is up with Max anymore right now. Nothing.
No.
Her character is kind of in limbo.
Yeah, yep. So she escaped from, you know, the grasp there, and now she's good. Cool.
Victor's son.
Huh?
That is something that I'm really upset about, is just, like, the drop-off of Max after, like, so she puts the headphones on, and they pull her out of Hell World, and, or they pull her out of the Upside Down, and, you know, she's okay and everything for the time being, but, like, you still have this looming thing in the background about, is she going to be safe? Blah, blah. But they just kind of, like, leave her character in limbo and everybody else is doing stuff.
Well, she is safe.
Even in this episode?
she wears headphones the whole time.
Yeah.
That's what keeps her safe.
She really doesn't have a whole lot to do until she has something to do.
Yeah. So what did you say, Chuck, a second ago? You said something about Victor?
Yeah, when Victor's son comes after her.
Oh,
Victor's
yeah.
Son?
Victor Kroll? Yeah, Vecna?
Yeah?
Is his son.
What makes you think that?
Why not?
Just wondering where you would get that notion.
Well, Victor saw that his wife and daughters were dead.
Uh-huh.
He never saw his son dead. I mean, they said that he died from cancer or coma.
Well, he was in a coma, and then he died shortly after.
So yeah, I'm gonna give it to him because you never. I mean, character dying off screen. We all know what that is. Blah blah blah. Like, I'm gonna give
right.
it to him.
Okay, I just you never mentioned it before, and it's the only reason why I want to hear your.
He did mention it before. Okay. This is not the first time that he's mentioned it, and I kind of kept my mouth shut. But you know what? At this point, it's like fine. But yeah, he's right. You're right. Okay. You're right about that one. You nailed that one, of course.
Pretty on the nose.
Well, I thought it was on the nose when I first watched it too.
Yeah,
that's...
yeah. He dies off screen. You never see him again. You really don't know what happened. Yes. So
I mean, I'm intrigued to see what actually happened to him. Well, I mean, I think what happened to him is he didn't die. He got sucked into a gate, and he's been living in the upside down ever since. And the only way that he could survive is if he jacks into the Matrix and gets his
kung fu on.
Yeah, gets his kung fu on.
Sure.
That's how he survives in there. But he he is what we thought and what we would hope Will would become from living in the upside down for so long.
Yeah, well, hey, we still have another season. We'll see what happens.
I don't see that happening. Mm. But he is exactly what we were hoping for, like the powers that Will would have that would make him as strong or stronger than 11. Mm-hmm. That's Vecna.
Yeah.
And it's just what I hope that we get, I don't know, to hear his backstory on what happened. I'm intrigued on. I think which I think is what's going to happen next episode, since now that we're entering into the upside down on a greater level, because now there's three of them in there.
Mm.
I do love, because I'm looking at like stills and images from everything now, and I can't believe that I'm going to keep going back to it. Just like the way that it kind of broke my brain to like have that realization of Brenner, the room that they're holding the circle game in. Like the panels all over the wall and like the double doors and everything, it like kind of reminds me a little bit of Cerebro. Like I don't know, or maybe I'm just like seeing it everywhere now, so I can't unsee it. But it's like I don't know, the way that this whole training simulation worked, and like just the way that it was edited, how you just see one by one all the kids sitting on the ground because they lost, or you see like them getting flown through the air and like, you know, hitting nothing but wall. I thought the entire thing was really well done. And then by the end when you get 11 and she just hurls this kid, I thought was just fantastic. And everything that happened like afterwards, like I love how they do the thing where even at the end of the episode, she's like, oh, I understand what happened now. I killed them all. Like 11's thinking that she killed them all because she was bullied. So it's so. I did like it though. I did
yeah,
like
it was
this.
Good.
Yeah, this was a really good thing. So that's kind of what I mean when I said there are things that happen in this episode. So you get the circle game, which I thought was really good to establish 11, even at a young age, that she was incredibly powerful. You have, you know, Susie, who's able to do the whole hacking thing and get the address for this other, you know, group that's out there who are trying to find 11. And the compass being broken and like leading to the new gate that they magically find. I think those are some pretty significant things that can happen in an episode, even if it is filler.
Oh yes, I agree.
Okay.
I mean, the filler still has to have something for it to catch people's attention.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm still, I mean, we got what, 3 episodes left.
Yeah.
Cause there's 9, I think we're on episode 7.
Yeah.
The big eyeball.
The big eyeball.
Still of Steve looking at the
gate. The water gate.
The water gate.
Giant gate.
No, not the giant gate. Just the little baby gate.
Little baby gate now.
So, yeah. I mean, they stole a scene from Star Wars here when the little tentacle came up and swallowed it in, grabbed him by the leg and pulled him down.
I thought that was awesome. When Steve gets dragged to the upside down through this gate, I thought that was amazing.
Yeah, and he like flies out, it's dry and everything. It's a dried up sea.
And then the bats come and attack him.
That's pretty cool.
Yes, it
is. Yeah, it was a great ending to an episode.
It was.
Like, you want to leave somebody on a cliffhanger, like, that's the one where it's just like, okay, I'll stay up.
Yeah, but
I'll
can they do an episode where that happens to somebody else besides Steve?
No.
He gets it handed to him every season.
Yes.
I know.
That's the point.
Every season.
Yeah, that's the point of Steve. That's the point of Steve. The point of Steve's
babysitter
character.
Babysitter beaten.
Not just that. I think the point of Steve's character is resilience.
Yep.
That's the way I see it. I don't, you know.
He always looks like Rocky, you know, in a couple episodes, one way or another.
Yeah.
Hey, Nancy.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much.
He
gets it pretty bad.
Adrian!
He gets his butt handed to him more times than not. But it's just like, I love his character because the whole point behind this character is just to be as resilient as you can be and protect people and help your friends and blah, blah, blah. And I think that's great. I love that.
Why is Steve not seeing the school therapist? I mean, this guy has been through more traumatic events than anybody in the group. He has been beaten by Billy.
Yep.
He has been drugged and beaten by Russians.
Yep.
He was beaten by Jonathan.
Yep.
He was dragged to the upside down.
Yes, he was.
This guy, he needs a therapist.
Some people can handle it and some people can't.
He's 17
right back
years
to
old.
His resilience.
Yeah. True.
He was drugged, kidnapped, and beaten by the KGB.
Yes, he was.
I don't care who you are.
Yes,
he
was.
That's leaving a mental scar for a long time coming.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure those are repressed memories.
Probably. Probably, yeah.
Anyways
is right.
Anyways. Well, I'm excited to watch episode 7.
Yeah.
And I might just do that after we're done here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
With that being said, I'm good to go.
So am I.
All right, yes, everyone. Thanks for tuning in and join us next week.
Yes, for episode 302.
Or 4, whatever episode we're on.
Whatever episode it is.
I know we hit 300. That's all I know.
Thank you.
So for episode 7 of season 4 of Stranger Things.
Yes.
So, all right, everyone. Have a great one.
Bye-bye,
everybody.
Bye-bye.